All right, so picture this. You've got this neighbor, and they've been using part of your land openly for years. Like, they don't even try to hide it, and they know it's not theirs. Could they actually go and claim ownership legally?
Well, that's the crazy scenario we're diving into today.
Yeah. It's Chaplin v. Sanders, a Washington State Supreme Court case that really shook things up in property law.
This case is a big deal.
Huge.
Yeah, it totally changed what hostility means when it comes to adverse possession claims.
And that's important stuff,
Yeah,
right?
oh, absolutely. It has major implications for like anyone dealing with property boundaries or, those pesky encroachment issues.
Exactly. So to set the stage, we're in Washington State. It's 1984.
Okay.
We've got the Sanders family running a trailer park right next door to the Chaplins.
Right.
And on the surface, it looks like just your typical neighborly dispute.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the Sanders, they knew they were using parts of the Chaplins' land for their business.
And that's where things get really interesting. The case really digs into this question: can you actually claim ownership of land when you know it's not yours?
Especially when it's been going on for decades before the current owners even came into the picture.
Right.
Like, we're talking way back to 1958.
Yeah, so rewind back to 58.
Okay.
The Hibbards, who were the Sanders' predecessors, they owned the land before the Sanders.
Right.
They were running their own trailer park at the time, and they started using these two disputed parcels.
Okay.
Parcel A was this road and its shoulder, and then Parcel B, a strip of land that ran from the road to a drainage ditch.
Makes sense.
And they were using these parcels as part of their trailer park, probably not even realizing that they were encroaching onto what would become the Chaplain's property.
So it sounds like the encroachment, it wasn't intentional in the beginning.
Seems like it, at least.
Interesting.
But then jump ahead to 1960.
All right.
Murray, who owned the land before the Chaplains, he actually discovered that the Hibbards were encroaching.
Okay.
And here's the kicker: he didn't do anything to stop it.
Oh, wow. So they knew about this problem and just ignored it for years.
That's right.
Wow.
And then between 76 and 78, both properties changed hands.
Right.
Sanders took over the trailer park in 76. The Chaplains bought their land in 78.
Okay.
And it wasn't long before they discovered this boundary issue had been brewing for almost two decades.
So they inherited this problem. What happened when the Sanders and the Chaplains finally ended up in court?
It wasn't a simple case.
I bet.
Yeah, the initial court decisions were kind of all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, the trial court came to a split decision.
How so?
Well, the Sanders, they got ownership of Parcel A, the road and the shoulder,
Okay.
but they were denied Parcel B, that strip from the road to the ditch.
So round one goes to nobody, really.
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
But then the Court of Appeals comes in and they reverse the trial court's decision completely.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
They said the Sanders couldn't claim ownership through adverse possession because they knew about the boundary issue.
So just because they knew it wasn't theirs, that disqualified them automatically.
That was their reasoning.
Wow. What was the logic there?
Well, at that time, the Court of Appeals was relying on these previous cases that required good faith.
Good faith meaning.
Like a genuine lack of awareness
Well, hey.
for an adverse possession claim to succeed. Basically, if you knew you were encroaching, you were out of luck.
So it all boiled down to intent.
Pretty much, yeah.
Did the Washington Supreme Court buy that?
That's where things get really interesting. They didn't buy it. They decided to take this whole thing head on.
Okay.
And their ruling, yeah, it really sent shockwaves through the legal world.
Really? So did they side with the Sanders?
They did. They completely overturned decades of legal precedent with this landmark decision,
Wow.
clarifying what hostility actually means in adverse possession cases.
So what do they say?
They said that the Sanders' actions using the land, maintaining it for years as part of their business, that was enough to establish hostility.
Even though they knew it wasn't technically their land.
Even though they knew.
Wow. So they completely redefined hostility in this context.
Exactly. They moved away from that subjective good faith idea.
Right.
And they said, no hostility. It's all about objective actions.
So things like maintaining the land, building fences, just using the land like an owner would,
Right.
even if you maybe don't think you have the legal right to do so.
Yeah. It's about what you do, not what you think.
So basically, it doesn't matter if you thought you owned it. It matters if you acted like you owned it.
That's a great way to put it.
Makes sense.
And their reasoning was, pretty solid. They argued that focusing on those actions makes things clearer and more consistent when you're
Right.
trying to figure out adverse possession.
Right.
And it aligns with that whole idea that adverse possession, it's supposed to encourage efficient land use and settle these long-standing boundary disputes.
So stop rewarding people for doing nothing and start rewarding the people who are actually using and improving the land.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like they're saying, let's look at what's actually happening on the ground, like get lost in what people might have been thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But how did this new definition of hostility, how did that affect the open and notorious part of adverse possession?
Yeah.
Because that's a key element too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And Chaplin v. Sanders had a big impact there too.
Really?
Remember how traditionally you had to show that the encroachment was so obvious that the real owner, you know, they should have known about it?
Right.
Well, the court basically flipped the script.
Oh, so what did they say?
They basically said that if the real owner actually knew about the encroachment, that was enough.
Really? So it didn't matter how visible it was?
Not as much anymore. If the owner knew about it, that knowledge alone was enough to meet the open and notorious requirement.
Mm, interesting.
And remember how Murray, the previous owner of the chaplain's property, he knew about the issue back in 1960?
Right.
Well, that knowledge, that's what sealed the deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the court saw that as proof that the use was open and notorious, regardless of, you know, whether the encroachment itself was really obvious to everyone else.
So they basically put more responsibility on the property owner to be aware of what's happening on their land.
Right.
Like, if you know about it and you don't do anything for years, then, well, maybe you shouldn't be surprised if you lose that part of your property.
It definitely puts more emphasis on property owners being proactive. You can't just sit back and think everything's fine. No. You got to actively address these issues.
Talk to your neighbors. Get surveys, you know, take legal action.
Exactly.
If you need to.
The longer you wait, the harder it might be to protect your interests.
This is a good reminder for everyone listening. Keep an eye on your property lines. Be proactive. But this shift in how we think about hostility, I mean, it must have had some pretty big implications beyond just this one case.
Oh, absolutely. It caused a lot of ripples in the legal world.
So what happened?
The Washington Supreme Court actually overruled several of their own past decisions, ones that relied on that good faith standard.
So after Chaplin v. Sanders, the objective approach, that was the new standard.
That's right, in Washington at least.
Hmm. Did it affect other states too?
It definitely got people talking all over the country
about
how to handle these types of property disputes.
Right.
Some states, yeah, they've moved towards a similar objective approach.
Okay.
But others are still sticking with the traditional good faith requirement or, you know, something similar.
Interesting. So there's still variety out there.
Oh, yeah.
But Chaplin v. Sanders, it definitely made everyone rethink things.
It challenged the way things had always been done.
And got people thinking about whether this focus on objective actions might be a better way to handle adverse possession cases.
Exactly.
So even if other states haven't fully adopted this approach, it at least got them thinking about it.
For sure. Chaplin v. Sanders, it was a catalyst for a lot of important discussions.
About
clarity and consistency in the law. Right. And it really highlighted, you know, how important it is for lawyers and property owners to stay up to date on the law because it can change.
And to adapt their strategies accordingly.
Exactly.
It sounds like Chaplin v. Sanders really was a game changer. So for our listeners, what are the key takeaways from this case?
Well, let's dive into some practical advice in the final part of our deep dive.
So we've talked a lot about Chaplin v. Sanders.
Yeah.
What are the big takeaways for lawyers and property owners?
Well, the biggest one is that in Washington State, it's not about what you think, it's what you do.
Right, you were saying that.
Hostility is about actions, not good faith.
So how does that change things for lawyers who are advising clients on property issues? Like, how has this case changed the game, legally speaking?
It's a whole different strategy now.
How so?
Instead of trying to prove what your client was thinking or intended, you have to focus on their actions.
Show me the receipts, basically.
Exactly. Photographs, surveys, maintenance records, even testimonies from neighbors, anything that shows them using the land like it was their own.
So it's about showing the court, not just telling them.
Right. And lawyers need to tell their clients to act fast.
No more waiting around hoping the problem goes away on its own.
Chaplin v. Sanders proved that. You got to be proactive. Address any boundary disputes head on. Get a survey. Talk to the neighbors. Maybe even take legal action early on.
So the longer you wait, the harder it gets to protect your interests.
Exactly.
Good advice. What about the people listening who aren't lawyers? What's the most important thing they should take away from this case?
Know your property lines. Walk your property, look at your boundaries, pay attention to what's happening around you.
So if you see a neighbor putting up a fence that looks a little too close, don't just assume everything's fine, right?
Right. talk to them.
Be polite but firm.
Yes. Talking can prevent so many of these situations from turning into huge legal fights. And if you have any doubts, get a professional survey. It's worth it for the peace of mind.
It seems like Chaplain B. Sanders really shifted things, putting more emphasis on actually using and managing your land. But does that raise any other issues?
It definitely leads to some debate about where we draw the line between encouraging people to use their land productively and protecting individual property rights.
Right.
Some people say that this approach is unfair to the person who actually owns the land, even if someone else is actively using it.
So it makes you think about what happens when those two ideas clash, right?
That's the ongoing challenge in property law.
Oh.
And it's a conversation that involves everybody. Lawyers, landowners, policymakers, as we deal with these complicated issues. Cases like Chaplain v. Sanders remind us that property law is always changing.
To keep up with society.
Exactly.
So the message for our listeners is to stay informed, be proactive, and adapt.
Because things change. Knowledge is power, especially when it comes to your property.
Well, I think we've all learned a lot from this deep dive into Chaplain v. Sanders. It's a case that shows us that property law isn't just about old rules. It's about real situations and how we deal with them.
Well said. Thanks for having me on a show.
It was great having you. And to all our listeners, thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time.